Alrighty, friends, we're back for your favorite podcast of the week. It's Location Weekly. This is episode number 667. We are recording live on April the 29th. Yes, the month is almost done already. Yeah, how are you, Brianna? What's going on?
I am good. It's nice and warm here and sunny, and it's New Fronts week, IAB New Fronts. So a lot happening with a lot of the big, publisher players. So Samsung Ads will be presenting this week, along with some other big players like Vizio and Google and Meta and Snap. So it'll be fun to see what comes out of that. So just excited about all that's happening in the space. How are you? How was Retail Loco in Minneapolis?
It was great. Yeah, everything worked out really well. The venue was solid. The speakers were entertaining. I was just telling you about a story there with one of our speakers. So, yeah, it went really well. I was overall like the content was fantastic and a lot of good feedback and interaction between the delegates and the speakers and lots of questions too from the audience, which tells me people were listening and paying attention. So that was good. We had a little tour of Mall of America too, where we got to see some of the technology behind the scenes. And then a few of us hung around on Thursday afternoon and went to the Twins game. So that was also fun. So
Nice. Sounds like a great adventure. Sorry I missed out, but we are back together here for good
we are.
stories as usual. We ready to
Yeah,
kick it off?
let's do it.
All right. Well, let's start on the water with Princess Cruises, and they have launched a new location-based services app called Ocean Now. And this is really, it's been updates, I should say, but it's really focused on their dining experiences on board. And this is kind of cool. So all the different options that you get across the fleet are going to reflect what they did for a pilot test. And now, guests can really order anything, anytime, and anywhere while they are on board one of these Princess Cruises. So what they're doing is they're allocating different dining rooms on each of the ships for different services. So one's going to be more of a traditional dining room, and that will have like a fixed early and late dining options, and seatings. And then there's another one for reservations for preferred times. And then finally, they'll have a third for walk-ins. So, for people who are not maybe big on planning or just want to have a casual night, that's kind of a great option. So if you are planning on sailing with Princess Cruises in the near future, you can start using the app from June 17th. So you can start selecting your dining style, whether it be traditional, flexible, reservable, open seat options, all those different things. And I think this is nice. Like, when you go on a cruise, I have not been, but I've heard so many stories about how one of the best things about being on a cruise is the features and the functionality and like flexibility that you get, right? So maybe you want to get dressed up one night, maybe you want to have something a little more casual, and being able to plan ahead of time, I think is a really great option. But then having that at your disposal and maybe not having to go somewhere to book it or talk to someone to book it. Probably just makes it a lot more seamless, and being able to do that from poolside, I can imagine, would be really great. So, location-based services, application, booking, eating, all good things. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I've been on a bunch of cruises, I guess, I don't know, maybe six over the last number of years. I like cruising. I like the flexibility of it. I like the shows, the entertainment that's there, and the food is good usually. So, yeah, I think it's, one of the challenges that this deals with is that whole sort of, you've got to book your sort of, dining room dinners and, some of the specialty restaurants. And usually, you're only limited a number of, those that you can do based on your status and or level of booking. Usually you have to go line up to book those kinds of things. Same with the the excursions. So I think if they can kind of enable you to do that wherever you are, and leveraging, sort of this walk-in anytime kind of thing. Or do that kind of booking through this kind of a service. I think that makes sense to me. Same goes for shows. Some shows you can just walk into and there's plenty of room, other shows not. So yeah, I think the whole idea of sort of anywhere, anytime, anywhere you're on board makes sense to me, right? And even for, if let's say you could order room service to, a lobby area or something like that where you're watching a game show that's happening or, those kinds of things, I think, become really interesting. And, they've had technology for a long time on these boats in terms of, being able to track where people are and cameras and analytics that way. Obviously they want to make sure they're not losing people or things like that. But I think enabling this kind of level of customer service makes a ton of sense, and updating the app to support that, I like it. So good for Princess Cruises, and I'm sure other cruises will be jumping alongside this as well. So there you go. All right, on to our second story now. So a Canadian company called Local Logic, it's a location insights provider for the real estate industry, has announced a new partnership with Homogenius Inc., and that's genius as in smart. At the end of that, I punched it in the note I sent to you, and it auto-corrected. So I'll have to make a note of that. But yeah, so they belong to Radian Group, and they've teamed up to kind of sync some of their technologies. So I think one of the things from Local Logic, their platform's called Local Content. And they've got all this information on 18 different distinct categories, including services, transportation, the character of a neighborhood, and then their local maps piece has heat maps, a heat map based search tool. So this is all about, when you're searching for properties and in that real estate mode, having, all the information as to, the schools and the neighborhood and the crime rates and the tax rates and the, everything that sort of is there in that area, and having that, be able to surface that information by heat maps or maps in the area, and having all these different subcategories, I think makes a lot of sense. And so, I think this is probably a kind of like a no-brainer partnership in terms of pulling this stuff together. And both companies, have been around in the real estate space for a long time. I think Homogenius, works with mortgage lenders and real estate companies and brokers, and sort of embedding this capability into their services makes sense. And I could see this with, MLS or other sort of real estate search engines, sort of combining this kind of capability, because normally you go to these things and these search engines, sort of the secondary, tertiary, search engines in the real estate space, and they don't have all these characteristics, around the neighborhoods or the properties. Often it can be expensive to try to pull this stuff together. And so having somebody like, Local Logic do that for you and kind of just embed it into your site, into your search, I think adds a lot of value. So.
Yeah, I mean, I love looking at real estate all the time. And being in Westchester, you're always wondering like what houses are selling for and what's kind of happening in the market. Because it's just they're turning over so quickly here. So I love this. It's like Zillow on steroids. And I think like you said, it's hard to source all of these data components together and being able to do that seamlessly and in one place in the heat map idea. Just makes it sound like there's a lot of compelling offerings that if you are, especially I would say like an investor or you're in that field as part of your profession, it seems like this is a great thing that you would want to have access to on a regular basis. So agree with your sentiments there.
Yeah, and I have the same thing in Toronto, like, where I am here, like just searching, the neighborhood's constantly changing, the stuff's always up for sale, and you're always just intrigued to know, the details about that, property. So I think a lot of people are like you. I mean, we might not be in the market, but you're always looking at these search engines.
Yeah. Well, let's move over to something very different and talk about delivery startup called Pipe Dream Labs. And they have raised 13 million to build underground delivery networks. Now, when I was reading the story, I was being reminded of and thinking of, I think it was Elon Musk was trying his hand at this boring company. And I don't know really where that went. I would have to follow up on that, but like kind of reminded me of flashback to that. But the CEO's Garrett McCurrich, and he has led the funding, and this is with Starship Ventures, also participation from Cortado Ventures, Mylan Ventures, and then some others that he announced on LinkedIn. And really, they're looking at this infusion of cash to be utilized primarily to enhance two things. One, their instant pickup service, which is going to kind of be like that 15-second pickup from a location, and also kickstart the construction of this middle mile network. They haven't decided on which city this will be. They're yet to name that city, but really to facilitate quicker and more cost-effective urban deliveries. So when they say instant pickup, what they're really talking about is like, how do we have this underground delivery technology at grocery store, restaurant, retail store? And then how do they enable it to be picked up and handed off with to the customer within 15 seconds? Love that. Supposedly they have 100 pre-orders for these pickup systems, which will likely include Wendy's, which did a pilot last year. And then building this like large-scale middle mile network installation. So really like think of this as an underground delivery network, and it's making current deliveries faster and cheaper in a big city. I think they're working very closely and collaborating with local government and city officials to try and just maximize the benefits that they're going to get, like low cost of delivery system for all their citizens. And again, they're saying construction is going to begin this year and start utilizing the network by next spring. I think it's a pipe dream. I think the name is very, fitting. I love this idea. I mean, I remember as a kid thinking, as like I would, living in the Southeast, like near Atlanta, there's so much tractor trailer traffic that is going through that corridor. And I remember as a kid just thinking, man, why couldn't they just like put underground roads for all of these tractor trailers? And obviously, other people have thought about that to the point that they have tried their hand at it. Maybe this will work for more like localized urban network. I don't know. I think there's just like a lot of things to be considered, especially when you think of most urban cities have been very well established and have things like subways running underneath of them and other systems. So I think it's going to be really complicated to do this at scale. And I think what may work for one city is not going to work for another city. And I'm just not sure the ROI is there, right? Like how much more are people willing to pay that's going to recoup the cost that is going to take to invest? Because I don't think $13 million is even going to scratch the surface. So, very interested to keep an eye on this one, but I don't have high hopes for it, unfortunately. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the concept is super interesting, right? But I'll to go in reverse from what you just said, $13 million to get this going is a drop in the bucket. Like these things take a lot of time, a lot of equipment, to build this kind of stuff. We here in Toronto right now, and this is, you're talking about a relatively old city, big city, 7 million people in the Greater Toronto area. Where it's a construction nightmare here every day to drive anywhere because we're building two new subway lines, complete new subway lines interacting, with the existing subway system, and everything's torn up. Like it's just, you can't get anywhere right now. It's brutal. And I think about the cost and the equipment and, the delays and all that kind of stuff that, has gone into what we're seeing up here in the city. And it's, building anything underground like this, I think is a challenge, right? And yeah, Elon Musk, the Boring Company there, I know they've got the tunnel, the three station subway or train thing that they've built inside of the Las Vegas Convention Center area, connecting to a couple of those hotels. But that's like a mega undertaking, right? Like to get it to that point after years of effort and billions that Mr. Musk has behind him. So this is fascinating to me, and I guess like to look at it from a positive point of view, I would say that if you were going into sort of newer cities or cities that are small but growing fast, and maybe there was an effort to build the first subway system or something like that in a city. Maybe there's a way to team up and sort of build a channel, if you will, alongside the subway that was designed for cargo or delivery networks or things like that. That I can see. Like I know, for example, when we were had the Google City that was being built here in Toronto, before it got canceled with COVID, you're talking about hectares of land on the waterfront that it was going to be a complete Google City with automated everything and Google running the water systems and the heating systems and the everything in there. And so in that scenario, I could see them building their own delivery network within that Google City. And so I think there are opportunities like that for Pipe Dream, but overall, I don't have high hopes for this. So,
Yeah.
all right, moving on to our final story now. We're gonna go over to Japan, where 7-Eleven has announced a new partnership, an AI partnership with Sony Semiconductor Solutions. So obviously also a Japanese company, and this one, I think, falls into a lot of what we've been talking about lately with retail media networks and kind of the growth in that space. And so that's essentially what's happening here. So 7-Eleven in Japan has about 20,000 stores over there. They're currently rolling out at 500 locations these Sony Edge, they're called the SSS solutions. So it's an edge device on a sensor AI processing platform. And essentially, you're looking at sort of these cameras with this AI processing capability that are mounted on the digital signage screens that are inside of the 7-Eleven stores. And so from that, they're able to collect data points on, how many shoppers are there, who've entered the area, the detection area. They can tell whether they've seen the signage or not, how many have stopped to view the signage, how long they watched it for, all of these kinds of things in terms of measuring, the impact of the ads on the on those screens. And I know we've talked about doing this with, Wi-Fi and beacons in terms of counting, but using camera analytics to do this, obviously you can get a lot more from that. They were very clear in their story. So all of this, by the way, is hosted on a Microsoft Azure cloud. But they were very clear to point out that there's no need to send or process data outside of 7-Eleven Japan. So it's all kind of done locally. And then the other thing is that there's no facial detection or recognition components of what's going on here. So this is strictly analytics in terms of measuring performance. And currently testing at 500 stores. There's 21,000, just over 20,000 in Japan. So lots of opportunity here. And globally, they have 48,000 stores in 16 countries. So maybe we'll see this in the US and Canada too.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I would add is, hey, they're like one step away from doing what Amazon did with their stores. They could just start using the app to check out if they wanted to, since they have all of the cameras and they could do it that way. Although lesson learned maybe. Yeah, I think this is interesting. It'll be like 7-Eleven is always trying new things. I really appreciate them from a convenience store bodega perspective. Like I think that they're always testing out things with their app and being performance-based and trying to figure out how they can stay relevant. So good for them.
Yeah, there you go. So that's our show for this week. Four stories, a range of different things there that we covered today. So, as always, we thank you for your time, for listening, and for watching. We appreciate it. We will be back next week with another show. And so, stay tuned for that. We might even have some clips or some stuff from our Retail Local conference last week that we'll include in there. If you have feedback or story ideas, don't hesitate to reach out to either of us. We'd love to hear from you. Give us some likes and some loves on whatever channel you're consuming this podcast, and we'll see you next week with yet another show. Thanks, everybody. Have a great one. Bye.
Bye.